Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Welcome back to Stomp This Way. We are back this week with a film that neither of us has seen before.
Nope.
A Netflix original animated production, The Sea Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Andrew, you'd heard about this movie, right?
Faintly.
I'd heard about it when it came out. I saw that it got a lot of... I mean, I'd seen the trailer before it came out, and I was like, eh, whatever. When it came out, I didn't watch it. This is the first time that we've both seen it, like I said. But yeah. I saw that it got a lot of critical praise, but just never got around to watching it. But we're watching it now. So here we are. But anyway, you ready for some production trivia?
Oh, you know it.
Oh, yeah. This is from Chris Williams, who is the director of Bolt, Big Hero 6. And co-director, I believe, of Moana. So he's got a lot of animation cred. I don't remember if Bolt was any good or not. But...
I enjoyed Bolt.
Anyway, they used a lot of cutting-edge animation techniques for this film. A lot of techniques that were learned from Spider-Verse movies. So there's that. And there is allegedly a sequel in development.
Ooh.
So I want to get into the awards that this film... didn't win any of these awards. It was only nominated for a bunch of them. But anyway, at the Academy Awards, it was nominated for Best Animated Feature. At the Alliance of Women Film Journalists Awards, that's a thing, nominated for Best Animated Film. At the Annie Awards, which I guess are for animated movies, it was nominated for all of the following. Best Animated Feature, Outstanding Achievement for Animated Effects and an Animated Production, Outstanding Achievement for Editorial in an Animated Feature Production, Outstanding Achievement for Music in a Feature Production, Outstanding Achievement for Production Design in an Animated Feature Production, and Outstanding Achievement for Voice Acting in a Feature Production. They need to find a way to shorten those award names. And then at the Visual Effects Society Awards, it was nominated for the following. Visual Effects Society Award for Outstanding Created Environment in an Animated Feature, Outstanding Effects Simulations in an Animated Feature, Outstanding Model in a Photo Reel or Animated Project, and Outstanding Visual Effects in an Animated Feature. All nominated. It lost to Guillermo's, Del Toro's, Pinocchio at the Oscars that year, which, whatever I say about this movie, I think it's better than that movie.
Oh, I agree.
But whatever. That's neither here nor there. And then some box office. Obviously, not traditional box office. This was a direct-to-streaming thing. It did have a limited theatrical run starting June 24th of 2022. I don't know how much money it made. It was released wide on Netflix on July 8th of 2022. It is the most successful Netflix original animated film by viewing hours. 165 million viewed hours over the first 5 months of its release. So,
pretty
I guess
impressive.
That's why. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's why it's getting a sequel. I couldn't find a budget. Netflix apparently has not released that information. You know, typically, animated features of this magnitude, you would expect to fall into a 150 mil to 200 mil range these days. Now, of course, this didn't have quite the cast as a lot of, you know, those Pixar and other Disney animated movies. We'll talk about the cast after we come back from our trailer break. But I don't know. If I was to guess, easily north of 100 million.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to listen to the trailer. We're going to come back, read off the cast and crew, the plot summary. We'll talk about the sea beast. See you in a bit.
There was a time when sea beasts would ravage our shores, and no ship was safe on the sea. But those days are over. Today, valiant warriors battle the beasts far beyond the horizon. You're Jacob Holland, a weapon against nature's darkest design. And I'm joining your crew.
Oh, no, you ain't.
Hey, put me down! Let me go!
We'll be off to kill a monster!
You stowed away?
Yeah.
I like this kid. We're dropping you off at the nearest port.
Hunting ship ain't no place for a kid.
But you joined the ship when you were me age.
Hold on, Maisie!
And look at you now.
That's not the same thing.
Isn't it?
No, it isn't.
The Drakemoor's thick with monsters.
Monsters that want to eat us.
We're not keeping it.
But he's so cute.
You and I have a different idea of cute. Just don't move.
Let's be going.
I see a fire in her. Same fire I saw in you.
Monsters I can handle.
We got it right where we want it.
Wait, Jacob!
That one. She'll be the death of me. I swore I would do everything in my power to keep people safe.
You can be a hero and still be wrong.
The ocean has sent us its worst. Then we'll send it right back.
I've always wanted a pet.
That's not a pet.
But I already named it.
Let me guess. Blue.
Aww.
All right, we're back. This film is directed by Chris Williams, written by Chris Williams and Nell Benjamin, music by Mark Mancina, and starring Carl Urban, Zaris Angel Pator, Jared Harris, Marianne Jean-Baptiste, Kathy Burke, Jim Carter, Dune, Mackie Chan, and Dan Stevens. So, like I said about the cast, I know who Carl Urban is, obviously. I know who Dan Stevens is. The rest of these people, I'm sure they're known actors, but I don't know who they are.
They're superstars.
Yeah, so they probably saved a bit of money on the cast. But anyway. Plot summary is roughly as follows. In a world that is plagued by giant sea beasts, people called hunters sail their ships across the seas, killing these creatures and collecting the bounties on them. Among these ships is the Inevitable, captained by the aging Augustus Crow III. Crow's most trusted crew member and chosen successor is Jacob Holland, who, as a child, was rescued by Crow after the boy's boat was destroyed by a sea beast. Crow and his crew is challenged by the Crown to hunt down and kill the Red Bluster, a giant red monster that has terrorized shipping lanes for years, or risk being cut off from the Crown's finances. Stowing away on the ship for this latest journey is the orphaned Maisie Brumble, whose parents were killed when their ship was destroyed by a sea beast. The Inevitable finds the monster and successfully harpoons it, but in order to save the ship from being pulled under, Maisie cuts the lines, and Maisie and Jacob are thrown overboard. They are swallowed by the red beasts and taken to a remote island filled with other beasts. Maisie dubs the monster Red, and her and Jacob soon become friendly with the monster. Red agrees to take them back to civilization. Meanwhile, Crow has become obsessed with finding Red, no matter the cost. He makes a deal with a witch who gives him a poison that will immobilize the beast. When Red and her two human companions make it back to shore, Red encounters and destroys a Royal Navy vessel, which brings the Inevitable down upon her. The Inevitable, the ship, not the Inevitable, you know. Red is poisoned and tied up to be towed back to the Royal Crown. The Inevitable brings Red to the Crown's palace, and Crow prepares to execute Red while the King and Queen look on. However, Jacob stops Crow and Maisie cuts Red loose. Maisie gives an impassioned speech about how the Crown started the war with the Sea Beast, and the citizens decide to leave the creatures alone. Maisie, Jacob, and her pet beast Blue go off to start life as a family, as credits roll, I guess. Sort of.
Yeah, that's pretty faithful plot summary to the plot of the movie.
I would say so. I would say so. I wrote it. Anyway, so getting started, you know, this is a Netflix original, not a Pixar movie, not a Disney movie, not a DreamWorks movie. I think Polygon Animation was the people that did the animation on this. But anyway, so, you know, I really didn't know exactly what to expect. But it starts off with Jacob as a little boy floating on some driftwood in the sea. It's clear that whatever ship he was just on has been destroyed by a giant sea beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then hard cut to modern, well, to the, you know, the time period in which the rest of this movie is set.
Yeah.
And Jacob is a crew member on a ship called the Inevitable. In this universe, there are giant sea beasts, obviously, and then these people called hunters. They're basically pirates.
Yeah.
They're pirates. They never say the word pirates, I don't think, but they're hunters. And they hunt. They're basically, you know, like Captain Ahab and the whale. Just, you know, whatever.
They're basically whale hunters, but with giant beasts.
Giant beasts. / pirates.
That's fine. There's a lot of things going on.
But anyway, so we're introduced to the cast of the, or the, this crew that is on the Inevitable. We have the captain, Crow, Jacob. We have first mate, Sarah, I think was her name.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's missing a leg. She's got a sword for a leg or something. There's also...
I think you're thinking of the wrong person there.
Oh.
There's that red-haired lady with the peg leg.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I kind of forgot about her because she kind of becomes unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, and then there's Sarah, who, like, loaded down with weapons.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole colorful crew on board this ship. Most of them really don't matter, but...
Yeah.
And they're hunting a beast, and we get an opening action scene with them killing this kraken creature. Mm-hmm. Forget what they call it. Something back. Not a humpback. Oyster back. Something. I don't remember. Tentacle back.
No, it doesn't have tentacles.
Huh?
That one doesn't have...
Yeah, the one that they fight first has tentacles. Remember, it was like...
basically a kraken.
That's what I just said. It's like a sea snake or a sea dragon mixed with the kraken. But...
yeah.
Anyway, we'll get with the creature design later. But anyway.
That's later.
They actually, the movie might have cut first to Maisie in the orphanage reading a book.
Yeah, that's the first.
And it's just, she's in one of the Crown's orphanages, and she's reading a story to the other kids, and then she breaks out. We get the impression she's done this a lot before, because the kids are like, okay, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But anyway, adventure, they kill the one, but they're chasing Red. But they had to call it off because another hunter is under attack, and there's some kind of code says you have to help a hunter in need, I guess.
It's the hunter code, Aaron.
It's the hunter code. But anyway, they kill this monster, but Crow almost dies killing this monster. Mm-hmm. And then we have a scene where he's like self-reflecting. You know, he's thinking about what, I don't know if he ever uses the word legacy, but it's clear he's thinking about what kind of legacy he's going to leave, because he's looking in the captain's log and looking at all the blank pages at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's contemplating his own mortality and all that stuff. And he's named Jacob, the successor to his ship, to be captain of his ship. And they go back to the crown, and the crown is unhappy with them because they haven't killed Red yet.
Yeah.
Because it's like the most feared sea beast. So the crown is wanting to send their own royal ships. They built this brand new fancy battleship to hunt down the red beast, and they're going to stop funding the hunters. But Jacob convinces them to basically, they're going to have a race to see whether they being the inevitable, or this Royal Navy ship can kill Red first. And if the inevitable gets it first, they'll keep getting the bounties for these monsters or whatever.
Yes.
So, blah, blah, blah. They have a night out on the town, but then they sail out again. Actually, they meet Maisie. Maisie goes to their tavern or whatever and asks if she can go with them. And of course, Jacob tells her no and like sends her off in a carriage. But they go off on their hunt. Maisie stows the board on a barrel and they're stuck with her now.
Yep.
The crow at first is kind of welcomes her on board, even though Jacob doesn't want her on board because, you know, he's like, oh, she's a lot like you were at that age or whatever. But they find Red and, you know, we have their big battle with Red. But Red is, they harpoon her. She's dragging them down into the ocean, and Maisie decides that she has to cut the lines or they're going to be dragged under. And she cuts the lines, and her and Jacob get thrown overboard. There's a lifeboat, and the Captain Crow is now angry at her.
Yeah.
And he's like, bring me the child! And Jacob is like, you need to calm down. But before they can be brought aboard, they're swallowed by Red and taken off to the island. And that's essentially the first act.
Yeah.
And something that I think is evident even in the first act, this movie's too long. It's, if you start it on Netflix and look at the progress bar or whatever, it shows it's like right at 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I think the official runtime is 1:55, and then Netflix always adds like 5 minutes on for foreign credits or something. But, you know, traditionally, for animated films, especially ones aimed at younger audiences, you typically want those credits and everything to be 100 minutes or less. I think this movie, I think credits start rolling like 1:48 or something. So, but I think it, you know, and I'll talk more about it as we get closer to the end, but it just, everything takes a little bit too long, especially if you're trying to hold the attention of younger kids. It takes them too long to get to the meat of this movie, which is the little girl and the guy, as we get into the second act, becoming friends. You know, they get taken to this island of monsters, Skull Island much. they fight off some creatures, and then Red saves them from this crab monster. And
they,
you know,
befriend a blue baby monster.
Yeah. You know, Jacob is very weary of the monsters. Maisie's more willing to just be friends with them, even though her parents were killed by a monster. But, you know, Jacob, he takes a while to warm up to Red, but they warm up to Red. You know, Red agrees to take them back to their home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maisie, during this time, is starting to wonder if all these stories that she's read about how the sea beast used to come ashore and kill people or whatever are fake, because it doesn't make any sense to her.
Okay.
And, you know, they're having some deep thoughts. And
Jacob said where the stories are told that he's never seen a town or any resemblance to a town there.
And we have this kind of moving scene where they look on Red's back and just see a whole sea of harpoons from her years of battling with the hunters, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they take him out. And, you know, this movie, I mean, I'll go ahead and say I enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
I think it is, you know, it's a really good movie. It tackles big themes about life and death and, you know, not always believing what you've been told that it's true and all that kind of stuff, and moving past trauma and, you know, whatever. And, you know, dealing with your own mortality. I think they do a good job with Crow, who ultimately comes the antagonist of this movie. They set him up at the beginning as kind of a sympathetic figure, an older captain who's, you know, had a brush with death, and he's contemplating his own mortality, and he seems like a good guy until he, you know, he turns into Captain Ahab, becomes obsessed with hunting down this red beast to, you know, whatever, to cement his legacy, to protect the future of his people, which are the hunters, and
yeah,
all of this. But meanwhile, during the second act, while, you know, Jacob and Maisie are making friends with Red, like I said, Crow's becoming obsessed with killing her, Red. And, you know, he goes, even though his ship needs repairs, he opts to go to this witch lady, who is obviously, the other hunters are not a big fan of her. Because they're like, you basically will sell your soul to her for whatever you get back.
It's against the hunter's code to go to her.
Yeah. And she gives him, you know, I think, talking about this movie being too long, ultimately, when we get to the end, I think this whole bit could have been cut out, because I don't really think there's any consequence that comes specifically from dealing with this witch lady that they wouldn't have already had to deal with. But she gives him this powerful harpoon that's filled with this poison that can kill Red or whatever. And, I mean,
well, if they didn't have that scene, you wouldn't know about the poison or the harpoon.
They could have abbreviated that, just have them buy the poison at a port or something. But anyway, regardless, they get it and they go on the hunt. And then as we transition into the third act, Red gets back to, you know, civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And she drops him off at this island. But it just kind of so happens that the Royal Navy vessel that we talked about earlier is also at this island.
Yeah.
And she, even though Jacob and Maisie try to stop her, she gets angry and goes and destroys it. And Jacob shoots her to keep her from killing some of the crew members or whatever.
The main dude. General dude.
He was a jerk. But the inevitable, there's a little bit of contrivances here, but the inevitable also happens to be right here in this area. And,
yeah.
You know, shoots Red with the harpoon and they drag her back to the crown. And, you know, there's a big audience there or whatever. And he's going to, I mean, also, I should say, Maisie was hurt pretty bad during mm-hmm. that whole scuffle on the little island. But Crow is going to execute Red in front of the crown and everybody. Mm-hmm. But Maisie is fiercely, she's escaped from her room. She's cutting the lines. And Sarah, the first mate, who's been kind of very loyal to Crow and mm-hmm. very, you know, hard-nosed, yeah. but she gives her a bigger knife to cut the ropes with because she realizes that, you know, that it's not right.
Should have gave you a bigger knife.
They gave you a bigger knife. And Jacob fights with Crow or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
I will say, again, maybe I was just kind of getting tired by this point because it was kind of late and the movie is long. But I think the end gets kind of preachy because she literally stands up, Maisie does, and gets on Red's head and gives this big speech about, oh, the books you've been reading are lies and the Royal Crown made up all this so they could kill the sea beasts without, you know, remorse or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
you know, gives this whole big, long, on-the-nose speech. And the people are like, oh, yeah, okay, we like beasts now, which would never happen.
Yeah.
And they turn on the crown, and they let Red go. And I guess now the sea beasts and people live in harmony or whatever. And
they never go through the veil where the beasts are.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, Maisie had this conversation with Jacob earlier where instead of him dropping her back off at the orphanage, maybe they mm-hmm. could be a family. So
at the end of the movie, guess what?
Guess what?
They become a big old family.
Her and him and her little monster blue that she picked up
and
off the
Red.
Island. And what?
And Red.
I thought Red, didn't she return to the sea or whatever?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. And then it's the end. And there's a good old sea shanty at the end credits.
Oh, you gotta love those sea shanties.
I love the sea shanties. But, you know, ultimately, this is what I'll say. It's a good movie. I don't think it's not like up there with upper echelon Pixar. You know, this movie deals with important themes, but very broad themes about life and death and you know, being able to determine truth from fiction. There's, you know, the great Pixar movies, I think, deal with themes that are more close to home for the audience that they're, you know, preaching to. Like Toy Story is very specific themes about getting older and, you know, aging out of the toy phase and, you know, kind of things like that. Mm-hmm. But this movie still has good themes, has good characters. I think, like I said, they do a good job setting Crow up as kind of a sympathetic villain. Even though the Crown, I guess, is really the main villain.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do a good job of giving Jacob a backstory, giving Maisie a backstory. Although, you know, we open with Jacob floating in the ocean after his boat's been destroyed by a monster. I don't know if that really comes back in the manner I thought it would. He just kind of
got saved by Crow.
I thought he would have, I think it would be cleaner if Jacob's boat had been destroyed by Red and he had to reckon with that. But whatever. Do they ever say that Red specifically was the one who destroyed the boat that Maisie's parents were on?
No, just destroyed by some sea
destroyed
beast.
By bees. Again, it might be cleaner or more effective if they make that, if they had made that connection, but I digress. But overall, really good characters, great animation, good themes. You know, I think it would really serve this movie if it was about 15 minutes shorter, if everything just happened a bit faster. Because, you know, kids, even with good movies, it's hard to hold the attention of kids for nearly 2 full hours. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, most animated movies, like I've said, cartoons, CG animated movies are between 90 and 100 minutes. This one is a little long.
Yeah.
Just a little long. And I think they easily could trim, you know, maybe not cut whole subplots, but easily trim, you know, a couple minutes here and there where they're kind of, you know, repeating things or just kind of wandering around or whatever. But overall, though, I think it's a well-written, you know, good family-friendly animated film. Agreed?
Agreed. Mike plugs it up. Pretty good job on this one.
Yeah, yeah. They did. They did. Mm. Creature design. We have Red.
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 Is Red.
What?
Is Red.
She is Red. She's very red. She's darker red on her back, mm-hmm. lighter red on her underbelly. Mm-hmm. She has flippers, kind of like Nessie, Loch Ness Monster. She looks, her head, she has a big red horn on her nose. But in her head, it reminds me a lot of the look of the How to Train Your Dragon dragons. Jesus,
no, I was about to say that.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar.
Somebody stole something.
Yeah, but I think in that manner, one thing that it is successful at is she's cute enough, mm-hmm. friendly enough with, you know, kind of soft enough features to be friendly looking in the friendly scenes. But they can also, especially with her, you know, cat pupil eyes and stuff, mm-hmm. she can be menacing in some scenes. There are some really great shots where she looks kind of terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
So they did a good job with that. We have the Kraken thing, like I said, they fought at the beginning. Like I said, kind of the mix of the Kraken with like a Chinese sea dragon. Mm-hmm. It's got tentacles, but it also has kind of like a serpent-like body.
It's an odd thing. It's an odd-looking thing.
Mm-hmm. It's portrayed as much more of a monster, less intelligent monster.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. We have the crab. It's a giant crab. We have the little yellow things that come out of those eggs that he step on the island.
And then the big mama yellow.
And the big, yeah, they're just like round yellow blobs, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Blue.
Blue.
Like this, I don't know. Like,
it's like
tadpole.
It's like the tadpole plus the underwater thing with the light on it.
Yeah. Yeah, like in Nemo, the thing that had the light that would attract the fish and it would eat them.
Cuter version of that.
A very cute version. This one is definitely meant to sell toys.
Yes.
It's a character, honestly, that I thought they could have cut, but it was there, like I said, specifically. It felt like it was there specifically to sell toys.
it helped May escape the ship.
It lets her out of the boat at the end, I guess. Yeah. They gave us something to do. What else do we got? Is that it as far as the creatures go?
Seagulls.
Seagulls? Yeah. Is there seagulls?
Remember, that's the whole thing? The seagulls follow the monsters?
Oh, yeah. And there was also, like, those school of monster fish things that were running away from Red. And there was a... We didn't really get a good look at it. There was a giant beast that swam under Jacob in the opening scene as a child.
Yeah.
But you don't really get a good look at it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all the monsters. I think, overall... You know, they did a good job designing and animating these monsters and getting into, you know, animation instead of effects. Getting into animation, top-notch animation. The water looks really good.
Especially when they're, like, underwater.
Yeah.
And going around looking at the abandoned discarded ships at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the surface of the water, underneath the water, all looks good. The creatures, I think, I don't know, some of the creatures, they're... Skin, especially in distant shots, is just kind of flat. Maybe they, you know, you could say they could have added a bit more detail or texture.
But that takes a lot of effort and money.
That takes a lot of effort, and it would take away from the cuteness factor probably a little bit. But no, overall, top-notch animation that you would expect pretty much from any Disney or Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of time. Surprising, since it was a Netflix movie, honestly, with very little hype or marketing or anything. I was surprised that they actually put that much effort into the animation. But like I said, good job. Good job on them for doing that. And the people, I should say, the people look really good. They did a good job animating. I made a joke that all the characters have giant noses. But, you know, it's just the animation style, the character design style. Good job on that. What's the last thing? Music. The score is really good. It's like, the whole... Almost a lot of the score is like based on a sea shanty.
Yeah.
Like that kind of sea shanty kind
of. It's just a pirate themed.
Yeah. I think they did a really good job. It's entertaining and it, you know, fits the movie really well.
Yeah.
So, ready for some final thoughts?
Oh, why not? Let's get into it.
All right. We'll go for it.
Well, this movie, it was pretty good. I won't lie. It was maybe a little long, but you know, it didn't. Like extremely drag. It didn't extremely drag anywhere. It kept it going good enough where you didn't totally lose all interest in it. The monsters, they look good. The animation on them was really good. The features on them make them look friendly and enough and all that for a kids movie. And you know, Red looked cool. I liked the horn and how it looked like the Toothless Dragon from How to Train Your Dragon. And then there was Blue, the little guppy looking thing, tadpole. And then, you know, all the other creatures we encountered in this movie. The acting in this movie was pretty good. It was pretty good. Better than a lot of Netflix stuff that gets put out that I've watched in the past. But, you know, effects, well... Animation looks really good for this movie, surprisingly. Score, gotta love a good sea shanty every once in a while. I'll give this movie a B+.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying and everything we've talked about. It's beautifully animated. You know, they did a great job with the action sequences, well-written characters, tackles important themes, everything you'd expect from a higher-end animated film. I definitely think they could shave 15 minutes off this movie and make it more streamlined. And, you know, it's also hard to keep a kid's attention, especially in these days and times, for this long. So that would definitely help. There's a couple of writing choices, like, you know, maybe connecting Red with more of the disasters that are talked about from the past, or not being so preachy at the end of the movie, that I think... It helped this movie a little bit, but overall, no, I think if you can get your kids to sit through it, it's a really good family-friendly adventure.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think it's a solid B+. So I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad a listener suggested it in an email, and I'm glad we watched it. It's definitely the best movie we've watched since -1.
Oh, yeah.
For this podcast. So... You know, it's good to review a legit good movie every once in a while.
Besides the stuff that we drag up from the depths.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, and I'm just kidding. Honestly, I need to look at the schedule and see what we're going to review next week. Before we talk about the schedule, though, talk about a little bit of news. Now, we are admittedly recording this episode much further in advance than we usually would because I'm going to be out of town the weekend before this podcast airs. So we're actually recording this on Sunday the 10th before the Oscars. So a week and a half before this podcast airs, we'll already know whether or not Godzilla won the effects Oscar or not. We'll cover that in the next episode. Apologize for that delay.
Yeah.
The only news item that I got that we didn't cover in the podcast that we recorded yesterday is that there's nothing official, but apparently rumors circling on the interwebs that there is going to be a Monarch season 2 in late 2025. So, you know, we talked about the show. It was fine.
It's fine.
We'll watch a season 2.
I don't know what they're going to do in season 2.
I don't really know either. It might depend on what they do in this movie that we're watching at the end of this month.
If it even correlates to anything.
At all, yeah. But speaking of our schedule, of course, we do have GXK at the end of the month. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the week in between this and that episode, we have a movie that I stumbled across when I ordered a collection of mostly Hong Kong kung fu movies from Arrow Video. But the Shaw Brothers, the Shaw Brothers collections from Arrow Video. The Shaw Brothers, mostly known for their kung fu movies, but in the 70s, they did make a movie called The Mighty Peking Man. I watched it. I can't believe I've never seen it before. It is incredible.
Oh, God.
We're going to watch it. It is a King Kong ripoff. The greatest King Kong ripoff I've ever seen for all the wrong reasons.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. What else? So if you haven't seen it, I would highly encourage you to watch it. Not really a family friendly movie entirely. So just beware of that. But we're going to watch it and we're going to review it next week. So look forward to that. And then Godzilla X Kong. And then I need to work out the schedule beyond that because I don't know. But
we'll figure something out.
Over in June, we have Ultraman Rising, and sometime in that time frame, that new anime Kaiju Number 8 should be coming to an end. We'll do a review over that. I'm sure there'll be another Ultraman show for the fall window. Eventually, we'll get to watch the Ultraman movie for Blazar, and we'll review that. So we got stuff out there that we need to, and of course, a whole slew of movies from the past. We got a lot of stuff. But anyway, I think that's it for this week. So don't forget that you can contact us. And if you have any other movies you want us to watch, we have a few more listener recommendations that I need to work through eventually. But you can always send more to stompthisway1954@gmail.com. We also have a website. Andrew, why don't you tell them about the website?
Well, we have a website at stompthisway.wordpress.com. You can find everything you want there about us.
You can find a lot of things. A brief about us. I post about every episode with a link to Spotify, like you'd need that. And, and most important, probably, is our upcoming schedule, which, like I said, I just told you the rest of the schedule that I have, so I need to go on and post some more after I figure out what we're going to do, but I think that's it for this week. As always, thank you for listening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you in the next one.